crimes against humanity in Gaza is a human and religious duty for all Muslim countries. And defying the rising opposition to Britain's weapons exports to Israel amid the Gaza genocide, London says it will not halt its arms sales to the regime. Palestinians continue to face endless nightmare of death and destruction in Gaza, where a U.S.-Israeli campaign of genocide is now in its seventh month. Israeli aircraft and artillery continue pounding various parts of Gaza, targeting homes and gatherings of displaced people. In the latest Israeli airstrikes, at least 14 civilians were killed in the Nusayra refugee camp of central Gaza. The Palestinian Health Ministry says 153 civilians were killed and 60 injured throughout the besieged enclave in the past 24 hours. Meanwhile, civil defense workers say they've recovered the bodies of 409 Palestinians from Al-Shifa Medical Complex in the north and the city of Khan Yunis to the south. Operations are made possible after Israeli forces pulled out from the southern city and ended their siege on the hospital. Since the start of U.S.-Israeli onslaught on Gaza, over 33,300 Palestinians have so far been killed. Our Gaza correspondent Moti Abu Musaba joined us earlier from the central city of Deir al-Balah with an update.
Some 153 Palestinian civilians were killed over the last 24 hours, in addition to 180 Palestinian civilians, others were injured over that time period. According to the spokesperson of Gaza's civil defense system in Gaza City, that they have succeeded to extract at least 409 Palestinian dead bodies from the rubble of the destroyed houses in the vicinity of the Ashifa Medical Complex. And when it comes to Khan Yunis City, as you know, that after the Israeli occupation forces withdrew from Khan Yunis City, more dead bodies are being extracted every moment. This actually what explains the high number of the dead bodies that are still trapped and missing under the rubble of those destroyed houses. So it's highly expected, as I've mentioned, for these numbers to rise incrementally, according to the spokesperson of the Gaza self-defense system, that they lack the needed equipment and the tools needed to help to evacuate the dead bodies. Still this moment, there is no significant change in terms of the humanitarian supplies allowed to enter into Gaza Strip, despite the reports that are still saying that the Israeli occupation forces increased and raised the number of the humanitarian trucks allowed into Gaza Strip.
Iraqi Islamic Resistance Group says it's launched a new retaliatory attack against Israeli targets in occupied territories in response to ongoing genocidal war on Gaza. The resistance group announced it launched an operation against oil port city of Haifa with two drones. Group added attacks carried out retaliation for the regime's massacre of Palestinians, including the children, women, and elderly, and it emphasized such strikes will continue against Israeli positions. The groups recently conducted several attacks targeting the oil port city of Haifa. It's also hit U.S. military bases in Iraq and neighboring Syria in retaliation for Washington's support for Israel's campaign of genocide in Gaza. The United Nations Deputy Secretary General has expressed deep concern over the humanitarian situation in Gaza. Amina Mohammed said in a UN press conference, the international community has lost its moral compass in Gaza. She warned thousands of children continue to be killed and maimed due to Israel's campaign of genocide. Top UN official called for immediate action on the humanitarian situation. Earlier, the UN chief himself, Antonio Guterres, urged humanitarian ceasefire in Gaza, and that, as a report by the UN stated, that more children have perished in Israel's war on Gaza than in over 4 years of all conflicts worldwide. Israel has faced tremendous international pressure to end its genocidal war in Gaza and allow more humanitarian aid into the starving territory. And now the UN says Israel is blocking far more convoys carrying food in Gaza than convoys carrying other forms of humanitarian assistance.
UN-coordinated food deliveries are much more likely to be impeded or denied access to areas requiring coordination within Gaza than any other humanitarian mission. So this is bureaucratic language for the fact that food convoys that should be going particularly to the north, where 70% of people face famine conditions, are more likely, actually 3 times more likely to be denied than any other humanitarian convoy with other kinds of material. And when you put up statistics with numbers of trucks going in, saying, look at all these hundreds of trucks going in, and you put it against, look how few trucks have actually moved around with the distribution. Well, it's kind of an own goal, isn't it? Because half of the convoys that we were trying to send to the north with food were denied by the very same Israeli authority. There are opening hours at these crossings. What often happens is that things move across from Israel into Gaza, and then they sleep overnight because it's not open anymore for the Gaza side to come in and pick up trucks.
Yeah, Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has a proposal made in the latest round of ceasefire talks on Gaza does not meet Palestinians' demands. Hamas says there is no change in the Israeli stance in the Cairo talks. And earlier, we discussed this topic with our guests in our news review program.
Time now for the news review of this bulletin. The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas says the proposal reached during the latest round of Gaza ceasefire talks does not meet the movement's and the Palestinians' demands. Hamas says Israel's position in the negotiations held in Egypt remains stubborn. The movement, however, said that it is still studying the proposal and will inform mediators of its response once it is completely reviewed. Hamas did not set any time frame for its response. The movement says that it wants a comprehensive ceasefire that would see the withdrawal of Israeli forces from Gaza and the return of Gazans to their homes. The humanitarian situation in Gaza is a main topic as well. The Cairo talks were attended by delegations from Israel, Hamas, Qatar, and the United States. Muslim Gopsai is a Palestinian scientist and author who joins us from Bethlehem. We also have Booker Ngessa, member of the Kenya-Palestine Solidarity Movement, who joins us from Nairobi. Welcome to you both. Muslim Gopsai, let me first start with you. Let's have your take on Israel's behavior here when it comes to these talks. First of all, they were prompted by the assassination of those charity workers from the World Kitchen Charity. Brought them out. Israel sent a delegation. And then you have supposedly these talks somewhat in motion, and then you have Israel come out now and say, we're going to attack Rafah, setting a time and date. It doesn't sound like Israel is very serious when it comes to these talks.
They intend to continue the genocide. That's their whole intention. And the Israeli government doesn't really care about its own citizens that are held by Hamas, including high-ranking Israeli military officers. This has been clear all along. It's a question of increasing pressure on Israel now after 6 months have passed. What are they going to do? Are they going to let the rest of these people die as they continue bombing the areas of Gaza into basically flattening all of Gaza? Or are they going to really make some sort of a deal? My own estimation is that there will be some sort of a deal. It will not be ideal for us as Palestinians, because it will try to save Israel and get Israel from, basically get it out of the mayhem of the trap that they put themselves into Gaza. And that's, to try and get something by political negotiations they didn't get by force.
Booker, why do you think so many are saying that if Israel was to agree to a ceasefire agreement, that would mark a huge defeat for Israel, in particular for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu?
First, it's important to realize that the Israel state under the leadership of Netanyahu is not going for negotiation on a point of strength. In fact, they have been forced by their failures in the battlefield to now resort to negotiation on a diplomatic way to cover their failures in the battlefield. It's important that the Zionist leadership has continuously said that the Hamas is a terrorist outfit. Why will they be on the table with the people they consider to be terrorists? It is indeed because of Netanyahu's failure in leadership in within the occupied territory, where there is pressure, for the hostages to be released.
Thank you very much for that. Let me thank Mazen Hopsay, a Palestinian scientist and author, and also Booker Gessa, a member of the Kenya-Palestine Solidarity Movement. Thank you to you both. With that, we come to an end for this news review.
Iranian President Ibrahim Raisi has called for an immediate end to Israeli bombings and blockade of Gaza. Raisi made the comment in a message issued on the occasion of Eid al-Fitr, which marks the end of the holy fasting month of Ramadan. He stressed to end the months-long genocidal war against Palestinians in Gaza as a human and religious responsibility for all Islamic countries. The Iranian president emphasized Tehran's readiness for cooperation with the initiatives of Islamic countries to resolve the humanitarian crisis in the besieged territory, praising worldwide rallies in support of Palestinians and International Quds Day. Raisi called for efforts to use this valuable turnout and end the atrocities in Gaza. London says it will continue selling arms to Israel amid mounting calls for the UK to cancel its arms export licenses to the regime. The British Foreign Minister made the announcement while holding a joint news conference with U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken in Washington, D.C. David Cameron said he reviewed the most recent legal advice on the situation in Gaza, but stressed UK's position on export licenses to Israel will remain unchanged. Last week, over 600 British legal experts signed a letter calling on authorities to halt all arms sales to the Israeli regime. They argued trade could make Britain complicit in ongoing genocide taking place. London has approved over $614 million dollars of weapon sales to Israel since 2015. A number of Google employees have quit the job over the company's cloud contract with Israel. Resignations reportedly come in protests against a project called Nimbus, which is a $1.2 billion contract with the Israeli regime jointly held with Amazon to provide artificial intelligence and cloud computing services. The protest group called No Tech for Apartheid says over 1,000 Amazon and Google employees have backed their efforts to stop this contract with Israel. Last week, a member of the group interrupted a conference promoting the Israeli tech industry and condemned Google's support for the regime. Hatfield was fired after his protest during that conference. Project Nimbus reportedly involves Google establishing a secure cloud in the occupied territories. It allowed the regime to perform large-scale data analysis, AI training, database hosting, and other forms of powerful computing. Recent reports in Israeli media indicate airstrikes being carried out in Gaza are with the support of the AI targeting systems. Moscow says it's opened a criminal case on suspected involvement of Western officials in financing terrorism in Russia. Russian investigative committee said funds received by some U.S. firms in Ukraine in recent years have been used to carry out terrorist acts inside Russian territory. It cited among suspected companies oil and gas firm Burisma, which employs U.S. President's son Hunter Biden in the past. The company says, or the committee says, such finding has been used to eliminate prominent political figures inside and outside the country. Russian investigators are also establishing connections between the perpetrators of terrorist acts and their foreign backers. Russia's accused Ukraine and the West of involvement in last month's attack on a concert hall near Moscow, which left over 144 people dead. Italy's warned about repercussions of attacks on Ukraine's Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant, saying risk of creating a new Chernobyl must be averted. Remarks came after several drone strikes hit Russian-held plant, and despite the fact that Italy has been supplying the government in Kiev with several military aid packages. Max Civilli has your story.
Italy's Foreign Minister Antonio Tajani has released a new statement following Sunday's drone attack on Russian-held Zaporizhzhia power plant in eastern Ukraine. Tajani said the risk of creating a new Chernobyl must be averted and that a free zone around the nuclear plant must be immediately declared. He also advised against fighting in the vicinity of the nuclear plant. A few days ago, during a celebration for the 75th NATO anniversary, Tajani hinted at the possibility of resuming ties with Russia in the future.
We are not at war with Russia. We criticize Moscow's policies, but we are not at war with the Russian people, and we definitely intend to resume relations with the Russian people.
It is the first time Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant, the largest in Europe, has been targeted in military action since November 2022. On Tuesday, Russia blamed Ukraine for launching drone attacks on the plant for a third day, but Ukraine denied an involvement.
The Italian Foreign Ministry's position on the nuclear plant attack is very interesting. Rome, for the first time since the start of the conflict in Ukraine, is not just taking the side of Kiev, but it is pragmatically looking at the interests of the whole of Europe, without focusing on who is to blame for the attack.
Also on Tuesday, the European Union Foreign Policy Chief Josep Borrell reiterated a warning that the UN's atomic watchdog IAEA issued earlier this week. Borrell said the reckless drone attack in Zaporizhzhia increases the risk of a dangerous nuclear accident. Italy has often reaffirmed its unwavering support for Ukraine, despite Russia's warning against such moves. The Italian government has so far approved 6 military support packages to Kyiv, inclusive of both lethal and non-lethal equipment and specialized military training activities. Max Civili, Rome.
That's a wrap for your latest, everyone. Thanks for tuning in, and goodbye for now.
This is IRIB English Radio. With you early in the morning. With you at midday. With you till the night's end. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
The Zionist regime military admits grave mistake in killing of 7 aid workers. Interim results of a 72-hour investigation revealed the aid group had shared information with the military about the convoy. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Middle East Eye wrote, the Israeli regime military has said that its troops made a grave mistake in targeting a humanitarian convoy with a series of airstrikes that killed 7 international aid workers recently. The deaths of workers for the World Central Kitchen, which included 3 Britons, an Australian, a Pole, a Palestinian, and a dual US-Canadian citizen, have been widely denounced by governments and organizations around the world. The 8 workers were killed in 3 consecutive strikes by the Zionist regime drones on the WCK vehicles, which were delivering 100 tons of food aid to Deir al-Balah warehouse. In response to a preliminary investigation into the attack by the Zionist regime army, the WCK demanded an independent commission to investigate the killings, saying the Israeli regime military cannot credibly probe its own failure. Recently, the interim findings of the investigation revealed that the WCK had correctly alerted the army about its convoy and that the vehicles were clearly branded with the organization's logo, but this information had not been cascaded down the chain of command. Yoav Har-Even, a retired military officer who led the investigation, said that the Zionist regime military drones could not recognize the WCK logos at night and called the strikes a grave mistake and a breach of the army's standard operating procedures. According to Har-Even, Israeli forces mistook one of the WCK staff who was carrying a bag for a gunman. He claimed the forces that conducted the strike did not know they were striking WCK vehicles. They were convinced that they were targeting Hamas operatives in vehicles. WCK CEO Erin Gore described the apologies from the Zionist regime's military as cold comfort for the victims' families and WCK's global family, adding that the organization's work remains suspended. In a statement in response to the investigation, the WCK said that it was clear that the Zionist regime military had deployed deadly force without regard to its own protocols, chain of command, and rules of engagement. It read, "Without systematic change, there will be more military failures, more apologies, and more grieving families." Recently, U.S. President Joe Biden warned the Zionist regime Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu that continued U.S. support for Israel was contingent on Israel taking specific, concrete, and measurable steps to address civilian harm, humanitarian suffering, and the safety of aid workers. The attack has wiped out WCK's entire operations team in Gaza, prompting the organization to suspend its operations. Since the start of the Zionist regime's genocide against Palestinians in Gaza, the organization has provided at least 43 million meals to Palestinians in Gaza through aid delivered by land, sea, and air. The World Central Kitchen is a critical organization feeding half a million people each day with hot meals, a media spokesperson for the World Food Program in Gaza said, adding, "We can't afford to lose that."
This is a special coverage of a live event.
Well, the listeners, here we interrupt the normal course of our program to go live to Tehran's Mosalla, where leader of the Islamic Revolution Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei is addressing the Eid al-Fitr prayer worshippers. Let's take a listen.
Some prayers in Arabic. And peace and blessings be upon our Master and Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his progeny. And also peace be upon his pure household. And to God we return and turn back. The auspicious, it's the auspicious Fitr festivity. I would like to offer congratulations to the entire Islamic community and also to the endeared people of Iran and to you who are saying prayers here. My felicitations on the occasion. The blessing of the Almighty God, the rain down on the Iranian and Islamic community. It's the heavenly festivity that took place in the past month, and it encompassed all people from all walks of life and all the strata of the Muslim community. They respected the Iranian people. They made the best use, hopefully, of this divine festivity to the best of their ability. Well, in the early days of the solar calendar that ushers in spring at the beginning of the Iranian calendar year, it started and intermingled with the spirituality of the holy month of Ramadan. You could see that the Quran manifested all over the nation. One outstanding point during the months of Ramadan this year was actually the larger number of people reciting the Holy Quran across the nation. It covered a large population. So it's been ever more brilliant than any other time. And also the radio and TV organization, IRIB, played a role to display this progress. So we need to be thankful to the Almighty God, as every day people are getting closer and we see greater proximity with the Holy Quran. There were also some special ceremonies, prayers, supplications held throughout the holy month, held especially during the Qadr nights. That's the nights of power or nights of destiny. That was another manifestation of this, these great nights in which people took part, and the nights of destiny or power brought further beauty to the prayers and supplications of the people, and people did take advantage of the opportunity. So the month of Ramadan is a great opportunity, and there were many who made the best use of this opportunity, and also people did the same too. We emphatically emphasize that this spiritual asset should be preserved, especially advising our youth, our endeared youngsters. You see, the young population in the country is inclined to saying prayers and performing religious obligations. So this is a great opportunity during the holy month of Ramadan. And that opportunity was used. So my recommendation for you, safeguard this and preserve it as a spiritual asset. Fasting is an important issue. What I was told this year was that at times there were some people who did not observe fasting in Tehran and elsewhere. Well, definitely the Islamic establishment does not intend to force the people into practicing religious obligations, but when it comes to breaking some norms, we are responsible. We should not shirk our responsibility. The people and also the authorities should perform their duties and responsibilities and should enjoin good and forbid evil. Hopefully, this great spiritual asset in the country could be protected and safeguarded for these people, because it's a source of magnanimity and a source of pride, and it brings prosperity both in this world and in the next world. So let's ask the Almighty God to keep our people steadfast on the right path. So that's the end of the first sermon.
Well, dear listeners, what you heard was the speech delivered by the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, addressing Eid al-Fitr prayer worshippers at Tehran's Musalla. Many thanks for being with us. Well, dear listeners, let's take a listen to the speech delivered by the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei.
محمد بن علي الجواد وعلي بن محمد الهادي والحسن بن علي الزكي العسكري والحجة القائم المهدي.
Saluting the Shia Imams as part of the Arabic part of the sermon. So once again, we've been given this opportunity, this auspicious occasion. I would like to once again offer my congratulations to you all. So what I need to highlight in this sermon is the fact that this year, in the holy months of Ramadan, we had some bloody incidents that took place in Gaza, and it brought us bad memories. So let the divine curse be upon the occupation Zionist regime. The occupation regime during this holy month, they did not only not stop slaughtering women, children, and the defenseless people, they even intensified and escalated the military operations. Now, the Western governments, in the course of all these years, they've always been there for the Zionist regime. They have aided and abetted the occupation forces. They stood up and they supported them in international fora, and they provided them with all kinds of aid and contribution in this disaster, in this, they should have actually stopped the Zionist regime. They should have stopped all this from happening, but they did not do so. They did not perform their duties. I'm talking about Western governments. So some of them simply gave some lip service in support of the people, but in practice, not only did they not make any prevention, they even offered assistance. The arrogant and tyrannical U.S. administration, and that of the U.K. in particular, slogan of death to America. Western states, they showed their true color. They showed what the Western civilization truly means during these massacres. Well, we used to say, then also the critics of the Western civilization had always reiterated that this civilization is founded on wickedness. The pillars, they are founded on actually antagonism against spirituality and spiritual values. And you cannot expect anything good out of the system. In the past 6 months, what happened in Gaza and what happened to Palestinians, the Western states themselves displayed the wicked character and their sinister character. They showed what that civilization is really about. They kill children while being hugged by their moms. They kill patients in hospitals. They cannot fight the. They cannot equal in their fight against the resistance fighters. So they target old people, the elderly, women and children. More than 30,000 people have been killed in the past 6 months. Where are those people who have always been chanting this slogan regarding human rights and relevant issues? They have been crying out loud. Where are they now? Why don't they see these people? Are they not human beings? Don't they have any rights? Now, as for the wicked regime that's replete with all kinds of erroneous deeds and treachery, they added just another mischief, and that was the attack against the Iranian embassy in Syria, well, the consular section and the premises of any embassy in any country. That means the soil of that country. When they attack our consular section, that's tantamount to attacking our soil. This is the international norm. Well, the wicked regime, they made a mistake. They need to be punished, and they will be punished. Now, we are bereaving our mourning our martyrs, including Bazahedi, Rahimi, and other comrades. Well, I already said that they loved to be martyred. They have not lost anything. They just got what they wanted to get. So there were the people who had been seeking martyrdom for the whole lifetime, and God gave them the blessing and their reward, and that was because of their jihad, of their holy struggle. So we breathe them, but they just got what they wanted. So they did manage to achieve what they wanted to achieve, both them and those who got martyred on the path of security in Sistan-Baluchistan province. The young people who are protecting our borders, they have put their lives on the line. So our people are breathing them. May Almighty God give the Iranian people strength and patience and success. And may God let the Iranian people see all their national wishes realized. I want to stress again on unity. Our endeared people, our youth, our political activists, social activists, those in the media, you should all be aware that your success, the key to your success, lies in unity. Unity among the Iranian people. You have difference of opinion, that's fine. You have different political standpoints, that's no problem. But you should not get into disputes. You should not become disunited. Dichotomy shouldn't be there, and then fabricating some groups. They all harm the country. They all harm your faith, your religion, this world, and also the next world. So we beseech the Almighty God to give us the best of the blessings to these people and make this people overcome their enemies. And we all beseech Allah God, hopefully their enemy will never be pleased and happy. And we ask God to keep satisfy the soul of the late Imam Khomeini and the souls of our martyrs, and also hopefully Imam Mahdi, peace be upon him, will be also satisfied with our deeds. And that's the end of the second sermon.
Well, dear listeners, what you heard was the speech delivered by leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, addressing Eid al-Fitr prayer worshippers at Tehran's Musalla. During this speech, the leader said, "Divine curse be on occupying Zionist regime." The leader said, "The Western states not only did not stop the massacre of Gazans, but they also aided the occupying regime." Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei said, "Attack on our consular section in Damascus amounts to attack on our soul." He also said, "The wicked regime made a mistake by attacking our consular section." Dear listeners, many thanks for being with us. Please stay with IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. What you just heard was our special coverage. We now return to our normal course of programs.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
The Limelight.
Many Palestinian voices have been silenced or marginalized on social media platforms amid the Israeli regime's genocidal war in Gaza. Many of these users see TikTok as a medium to highlight the ongoing genocidal war crimes in the besieged Palestinian territory. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Iran's Press TV has covered this story and tells us more. Discussions about imposing a ban on TikTok, a short-form video platform owned by a Chinese company, have dominated the public discourse in the United States in recent weeks. The attempts to sell the popular application began during the previous U.S. administration headed by Donald Trump. The incumbent government has intensified the same battle. Recently, the U.S. House of Representatives passed a bill aimed at pressuring TikTok's Chinese developer, ByteDance, to divest from the company's U.S. operations or face expulsion from the United States. President Joe Biden said he would sign the bill if it passes the U.S. Senate as well. The legislation sets a strict timeline, giving ByteDance 6 months to sell off its U.S. assets or risk a ban in the country. However, final approval rests with the Senate and President Biden's signature. Named the Protecting Americans from Foreign Adversary Controlled Applications Act, it overwhelmingly passed in the U.S. House of Representatives with 352 votes in favor and only 65 votes against. Lawmakers advocating for the measure cited concerns that TikTok could potentially grant the Chinese government access to the private information of American citizens through its highly engaging algorithm. However, the move was slammed by TikTok's vast user base of 170 million Americans, as well as civil liberties groups and digital rights groups, who warned that a ban would impinge upon freedom of speech, as users are using it to amplify their anger and outrage against genocide in Israel's war in Gaza. While the White House and U.S. legislators push for action against the Chinese app, the fate of the bill hangs in the balance within the U.S. Senate. The upper chamber of the U.S. legislature presents a formidable hurdle where the path forward is far from straightforward. The legislation is set to undergo further scrutiny from lawmakers across the American political spectrum, and it is likely to face competition from alternative versions of a ban. In the broader context, amidst discussions of national security and data privacy, advocates for Palestine warn that the move is part of a broader pattern of technology censorship in line with the biggest and most sinister project shared by the US government and the influential Israeli lobby. Many Palestinian voices have been silenced or marginalized on social media platforms amid the Israeli regime's genocidal war in Gaza. Many of these users see TikTok as a medium to highlight the ongoing genocidal war crimes in the besieged Palestinian territory. U.S. lawmakers have expressed apprehension over the potential clandestine control of ByteDance by the Chinese government. Despite denials from the company, accusations persist regarding the sharing of sensitive user data with the Chinese government. In congressional testimony in March, TikTok's chief executive officer Xu Chu refuted such unsubstantiated claims, emphasizing that ByteDance is a private entity independent of Chinese government control. Xu Chu was quoted as saying at the time, "ByteDance is not owned or controlled by the Chinese government, it is a private company." Xu Chu condemned the disappointing legislative action, pledging vigorous defense measures including legal recourse to safeguard the app. Citing proactive data protection measures, TikTok remains optimistic about the US Senate vote, highlighting the application's significant economic impact and its extensive user base. The app owners said in a statement recently, TikTok remains hopeful that the US Senate will consider the facts, listen to their constituents, and realize the impact on the economy, 7 million small businesses, and the 170 million Americans who use our service. This process was secret and the bill was jammed through. For one reason, it's a ban. However, skepticism prevails among U.S. legislators, with Senator Marco Rubio alleging during a recent hearing on global threats that Chinese companies, including ByteDance, are subject to control by the Chinese government. Senator Marco Rubio underscored concerns regarding TikTok's utilization of advanced artificial intelligence algorithms fueled by American user data, raising apprehensions about privacy breaches and manipulation. In a bid to sever alleged Chinese influence, according to their claims, policymakers advocate for TikTok's sale to a Western entity, positing it as a viable solution. Despite the social media platform's repeated denial, emphasizing the Chinese government's minimal stake in ByteDance, the case has been built against it in Washington. The British newspaper The Independent has also covered the same story and tells us more. TikTok boasts of millions of users across the world who are fiercely against the Israeli-American genocidal war against Palestinians in Gaza and have been posting videos in support of Palestinians of the Gaza Strip. In a recent report, The Independent cited a TikTok user, Awa, whose profile on the Chinese application gained a massive number of followers as she posted pro-Palestine content there. The 26-year-old from New York City was quoted as saying, "It has woken up the entire nation," adding, "TikTok has made us be able to reach so many people across the nation to understand what is truly happening to these people, that they are on occupation and that they are in genocide." According to a report in the Wall Street Journal published recently, one of the reasons behind the fresh push in the United States to ban TikTok was used as engaging with content related to the Gaza genocide. Jacob Helbert, a member of the U.S.-China Economic and Security Review Commission, was quoted as saying that the six-month-long war was a turning point in the U.S. government's move to ban it. Jacob Helbert said people who historically hadn't taken a position on TikTok became concerned with how Israel was portraying in the videos and what they saw as an increase in anti-Semitic content posted on the app. Anthony Goldblum, a San Francisco-based data scientist, also referred to far more views for videos with pro-Palestine hashtags than posts with pro-Israel hashtags. Referring to Goldblum, the report said, while the ratio fluctuated, he found that at times it ran 69-1 in favor of videos with pro-Palestinian hashtags. With TikTok emerging as a powerful platform for sharing public opinion on Gaza, especially among the younger generation, pro-Israel lobbies such as the Anti-Defamation League have been spearheading the campaign to have it banned in the United States.
Faqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
the Holy Prophet of Islam is the example of
self-purification is the most significant factor.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Qaraati. Please stay tuned.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا يعني كفرن من ديمان كفرن كده من رابطه داري ديمان داري.
Regarding the holy month of Ramadan, the Holy Quran states, "All you who have faith, prescribed for you is fasting, as it was prescribed for those who were before you, so that you may be God-weary." Out of 365 days of a year, the Muslims are only obliged to fast for 30 days. This means that Allah does not want His people to be afflicted with hardships. Also, Allah banned the sick people or travelers from fasting during the month of Ramadan. This means that Allah wants His people to experience one of the best deeds of Islam in the most beautiful and sweet ways. In other words, Allah desires that the people taste the sweetness of fasting without having any type of fear in their hearts and soul. Thus, there is no type of force in the tone of Allah to oblige His people to fast.
Mm-hmm.
In the Holy Quran, there is no compulsion in the words of Allah regarding fasting during the holy month of Ramadan. Although fasting